Midday Market brings some interesting conversations when it comes to a Fed meeting that is underway and, of course, ethanol numbers. But more importantly, what's going on in this wheat complex? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today with Global Commodity Analytics. So let's talk about what you're seeing in this global and local wheat complex, Mike.
Yeah, the big thing I think with the wheat, Susan, is we had to address the big increases from the report on the WASDE world numbers. And I think that was something that we kind of brushed past on post-report when it came to Tuesday's trade. And I think this also kind of works in favor of what was happening in the crude oil market. Department of Energy put out fresh numbers in their short-term energy outlook yesterday, before the wheat market could really look at it. And I think this is another one of those situations where wheat and crude continue to be talked about now and kind of verified by both the WASDE in the case of wheat and the short-term energy outlook from the EIA that we are working into an oversupply situation as we go into 2026, because four countries essentially saw a total of about a 7 million metric ton production increase on yesterday's report, and almost all of them were major competitors with the United States. And so I think that's what we had to deal with in light of the Federal Reserve, as you say, getting ready to come out. And they did come in with a quarter point drop here in the post market trade. And now we're going to get ready to hear, probably more importantly, what the press conference gives us as far as an outlook in 2026. And so to me, it was a domino effect, really, when I described Wednesday to the clients I work with, Susan. It was more about the WASDE report numbers and energy numbers. You threw in there the ethanol numbers. They helped support this idea of a wheat-led decline, a weaker demand-side mindset in the grains. Wheat trade psychology was the first domino to make the corn get weighed down. Beans came around with, I think, a spread shift of buying beans and selling corn because of the wheat and also because of the ethanol and also because we had those fresh sales to unknown and to China and soybeans and one of the countries for soy meal, I believe it was Poland. Mm-hmm. That was a much needed piece of news to help bring the soybeans back around after the WASDE numbers.
You know, it was really nice, Mike, to see such a long list today come out this morning of buyers and where things were being shipped to, and a country we don't talk a lot about, and that's Poland, jumping into that rotation this week.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the hallmarks of the weaker dollar in 2025. Our exports in soybeans could have been a lot worse given what China has not bought from us as we get ready to close out the calendar year. And I think the trade's also pretty settled in their mindset now, Susan, that they don't have to think about as much getting more business from soybeans. They've taken prices down. They continue, I think, to watch the Pacific Northwest price because that's kind of the indicator as to where the Asian business is. But to your point, again, the soybean demand, meal demand, could have been a lot worse. And I would say if you look at year-to-date inspections of hard red wheat and some of these other commodities, on the U.S. side, they're very strong. And I think this really goes back to the U.S. dollar. And that's why the Federal Reserve is so important, because that U.S. dollar has really insulated, I think, a lot of the potential negativity of the tariff talk and the tariff news.
So look at the livestock side of it. I mean, the cattle market, some say that they bought up a lot of cattle last week. We're not going to see a big push, steady at best, on the cash. What are you hearing at this point as you look at our numbers and a market that's trying to hold on to the green today?
I just disagree with that. I'm a contrarian when it comes to that, Susan. I feel like that the Packers have been short bought for several weeks. They've played this market very, very well, and now they need to buy, especially with some of the boxed beef prices and some of the key cutout values dropping back and becoming more competitive. Now, you don't want too much of a good thing. In other words, we don't want the choice, the cutout to drop too much. We don't want loin prices or round prices to pick up a trend that's more negative during the seasonal time period. But I feel as though that with between the weather situation and this early winter coming on and how the Packers have been the last 3 or 4 weeks, that we're still fairly current at this stage of the game, and they need to come in and buy some extra. One of the things that I thought was very interesting and very supportive of the cattle market in its in totality on Wednesday's trade was you're looking at a market that received bigger beef production numbers by 335 million pounds for 2026, bigger net beef imports by 460 million pounds for 2026. You essentially added 795 million pounds to the total supply, and that was a 2.6% increase between those two numbers. And yet look at how strong this market has been able to fight back and punch back, and it makes you wonder if maybe we have done enough price erosion to factor in a lot of negativity. And I'll feel a lot better at the end of this week saying that based upon how the futures market closes, and to see if my contrarian view of the Packers coming in more aggressively than the trade thinks happens between now and Friday.
And, you know, Mike, we haven't heard a lot about holiday buying. I mean, I know it's pretty much done at this point, but there hasn't been a lot of discussion about what could have been purchased at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a really sound point, and I think that's something that we really do need to wait to see if we get any kind of intelligence on that. We had a lot of intelligence after the holiday weekend for Thanksgiving, and I think that was very, very useful to the market to give this trade a mindset that it's the beef demand is not backing down hardly at all at this stage of the game, and I think that's really important. The last weekly beef retail number report that we got from USDA as of the 5th of December suggested that the featuring rate for beef was up 3.6%, and the activity rate was up almost 5%. Those are two very strong numbers, and it would suggest this beef seasonal is pot roast season, you know, get into the warm weather type meals, maybe a heavier meal. Those are good numbers and support that beef seasonal right now, Susan. That's why I feel like the Packers should be in this market.
As always, thank you, Mike, for the update on what we saw in the market trade today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
That is Mike Zuzulo, Mike with Global Commodity Analytics. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.